Hi, and introduce yourselves. Jump up, say good evening.
This is going to annoy me because you sit and play with it.
Oh.
There.
Okay. All right, well, we will start tonight. We're going to start in our book. We're going to be in Security. We'll start in page 10. Everyone have a book tonight? All right. So we will start off in prayer. Who would like to pray for us tonight? Anybody? Nobody? Okay, we'll go over a few things here real quick. We have coming up the church hike on the 19th. They're going to do a family hike for all of you that are interested. And then is that the youth movie and concession night also?
Yeah.
Okay. So on the 19th, make notes in your calendars that movie night concession stand fundraiser. And what movie are we going to play? Do we know yet? Okay, we don't know what movie. So on the 19th, make a note, and then we'll do that fundraiser. On the 26th, coming up.
We work the concession stand for the movie.
Oh, yeah.
To raise money for camp.
Okay. So for the church camp coming up, which will be July 9th to the 14th, you guys can still earn some more money. Coming up on the 19th of this month, we're going to do the movie night. You don't have to sit all the way over there by yourself. All right, and then Russ Miller field trip. Do you guys remember Russ Miller who came to the church and did the about evolution and all that? Well, we're going to do the field trip down to the Grand Canyon and go do the Creation Rock, is that what it's called? So we got the Russ Miller field trip on the 26th, which is going to be a Saturday. So if you guys make notes, we'll get an email out to everybody. It'll be on the calendar and everything. We're going to drive to the Grand Canyon. We're going to get there. I think we got to be there like 10 a.m. So we'll get all the fine details worked out so we can go do that. But that'll be on Saturday the 26th. So for everyone that wants to participate, we tried to push it back because Ryan's going into the military in July. So we tried to get that done. That was a one date we had where we could get in before he ships off and everything. So it'll be a lot of fun. So hopefully all the rest, Gretchen, everyone can all be there who's kind of gone right now. So we got that coming up. And we're going to do some videos, I think, on a Sunday and a Wednesday. That week before, we're going to do a video, I guess, segment to kind of go over. Yeah.
So we're
going to watch the videos here that everybody else usually watches on the Okay, perfect. Well, let's pray, and then we will get into the study. All right, Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just so thankful to be able to come here, to be able to have this place of worship, to be able to just study your word. And we pray, Father, that you will open our hearts to the truth. You will open our hearts to the message that you have, and just pray that we will be the light of this world as we go out into this dark place. We pray for everyone here, for the youth. We pray for the Pastor Tony and for his message that he's doing over there. We pray, Lord, that we will hear your voice tonight. We praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to be on page 10 of our book, Security. So let's go over a few things. Security. When you hear security, what comes to mind? What do you guys think about when you think of the word security? What do you think? Just secure. What is secure? When you think of something that's secured or security, what do you think? What? Safe? Okay, that's good. I like that answer. That's good. What do you guys think? So security is the quality or state of being secure. All right, that's what it means. So safety, so like right now, you guys came in here. How many of you locked your car doors? Did everybody lock their car doors? Probably. Do you lock your car door when you park here? No, you don't. When I lived here as a kid, I never locked my car doors until I moved to California. Then we locked the car, the house, the toolboxes, everything. But do you guys lock your house doors right at night? For security, right? You feel safe. You feel secure. So freedom from fear of like anxiety, right? We have security, freedom from the prospect of maybe like being laid off. People talk about, you hear a lot of people say, well, we have cybersecurity, right? You see that a lot. You guys on the computer much? You guys have a lot of security features on every computer you're on, right? Your phone. Most of the time, you can't even get into your phone without a password, right? You guys have all your passwords protected on your phone and iPads and all that? No, some do. I know I do. So security, Wikipedia has a good example. It says security mostly refers to like the protection from hostile forces, but it really has a wide range of senses. For example, like the absence of harm, maybe the freedom from want, the presence of essential, like good, right? Food security. How many of you have food in the closet or at home in the pantry, right? You have this security for food, so we store it up. What about like phone lines? Do you guys have secure phone lines? You don't want people listening to your messages? So and like a lot of times for people will tell you, hey, this is a secure line. You call into a bank. This is going to be a recorded line. It's supposed to be a secure line. They're going to record it. Make sure that, you know, that way if anything ever comes back to them, they can say, no, this is what was discussed. So there's many different types of security, and we could go all night long and go over all the different types of security. But tonight we're going to go over our spiritual security, all right? Our security in Christ and what that means for all of us. So one amazing thing that we're going to look as we go through our studies and as we start growing the Word, we're going to see in Malachi 3:6, the Lord says, I am the Lord, and I change not. We consistently and constantly see things change every day. We see laws change. Things that were illegal years ago are now legal. You know, marijuana is huge right now. That's been illegal for years now. It's legal in a lot of places. So could you imagine if God changed how his rules were and how he governed us, right? If he changed like our government does, we would have no security in anything, right? Because we wouldn't know. I tried to Google, and you can do it when you get home. I tried to Google how many like laws we actually have in this country. And like it just came back and said that we really don't know. There's no way to really count how many laws because there's so many of them. The law of Congress, the library has so many rules and so many books. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pages of just laws. And they were saying, it was really funny when I was reading over one, it said that as Congress passes new laws, that we actually, most of us break laws, not even knowing it, because we don't even know what the new law is. So I just kind of like, oh man, how do we have any security in anything, right? But at least God never changes, and we see that. He says, I am God, and I change not. So we're going to look tonight, let's look at how we can have security. We're going to look right here. When you fight behind enemy lines on page 10, you must have a perimeter set up for your own security. Knowing the perimeter is that it's there gives you the confidence, you know, that you need. As a spiritual warrior, you need to understand the security that you have in Christ. We have to really understand our security in Christ. That we believe in Jesus. We believe that he died on the cross for us. That we have, you know, eternal salvation. So there is no place for fear in this struggle. It tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7. And we're going to go through a lot of scripture tonight. These two pages were filled with, do you know how many were on there, Brendan? About 20 different verses. So we're going to go through a bunch of them tonight. But in 2 Timothy 1:7 it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we shouldn't have a spirit of fear. About 26. Just on these two little pages, we're going to go through about 26 different verses. So you guys have them here, but I encourage you when you get home, you know, really look into these. Look at into the scripture and really start studying it. Start doing some Bible memory verses. So our perimeter is the love of God. This love moved him to send his son to die for all sinners, not just for us, but for all of us, every single one of us. Since God did the most for us when we were enemies, he can only do much more for us as his children, right? So in Hebrews 2, it's chapter 2, 14 through 15, it says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death we might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We are all subject to bondage, the bondage of death. But now we have a confidence, a renewed spirit that we have eternal salvation. So that's kind of what we're going to really go over about the security, our salvation, our security in our salvation with Christ. Romans 8:35 through 39. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now that is total security right there, right? You guys, would you guys have any fear knowing these type of scriptures, knowing that you have eternal salvation? Romans, let's see, we're going to start right here. Number one, the baptism of the Spirit. All right, the two words in Scripture speak of the most exalted position in the universe. In Christ, we enter into the body of Christ at salvation by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So we're in an exalted position. We enter into the body of Christ at salvation by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not only have we been identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, which is in Romans 6:3-4, or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, Jesus were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. So we're baptized in the Spirit with him. But we also have been in positionally seated with him in heaven. And that's going to go in Ephesians 2:4-7. And also we can no more be cast out than can the Son of God himself. This is the greatness of God's grace and the assurance of his security. In Ephesians 2:4-7, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up, has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So we're baptized with them in the Spirit. Then we have number two here, the regeneration. When you see the word regeneration, what do you think of? What does that bring to mind when you see that word? Nobody? What about like Superman? He gets his kryptonite, and then the kryptonite goes away, and then he's all rejuvenated. The sun comes out and gets all his powers back, right? That's kind of what I see when I see that word. But regeneration, in Titus 3:5, it tells us that not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So this is the work by which God, the Holy Spirit, makes us spiritually alive. Regenerating is a work of both cleansing and quickening. We got to get regenerated, right? We've talked about it before. We all fall. We're all gonna sin. We're all gonna do things in life where we're going to have to get back in fellowship with God, and we're going to have to utilize verses like 1 John 1:9, confessing our sins to the Lord so he can forgive us. Because Jesus was judged for us, we are no longer under divine condemnation. So that's a great security, right? Right here in this regeneration. Because Jesus was judged for us, we are no longer under divine condemnation. But we all really do deserve death, right? We deserve to die, but Christ came and died for us. So as God's children, we can be disciplined, though. We're going to see this, too, in 1 Corinthians 11:31-32. It tells us here that, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. It's crazy how this verse really stands out for me. It says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Do you guys understand what that really means? We're really harsh on other people, right? When Kayla does something wrong, I know TJ's really harsh on how she did everything so wrong. She did this wrong and that wrong and blah, blah, blah. But then when it comes back on TJ and he gets judged, he gets offensive and gets mad, right? Does that happen to all of us? It's easy for us to judge everyone else. Why mom didn't do this? Why dad didn't do that? I didn't have my milk and my cereal? And we judge everyone else, but yet we don't really judge ourselves. And this is what's saying, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged at all, right? We're like, no, I'm good. I did everything right. It was all them. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. So we have a way out, which non-believers don't. John 6, 37, it says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. That's a great security right there, right? He's saying that I will by no means cast out. He who comes to me. I mean, that's a great security, knowing that when you accept Christ as your Savior, that you're going to have eternal salvation. That is a great security, a great feeling. By regeneration, we are able to live in newness of life by resurrection power. And that's in Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Regeneration, newness, right? We're new. We're a new creature. We're a new creation. We're going to go over a couple more of those scriptures here too. So that's number two, regeneration, being regenerated in the Spirit, regenerated with Christ, and having these securities and this newness of life. So number three, indwelling. Romans 8, 9 through 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead and will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So indwelling, at the moment of salvation, we are permanently indwelt by with the Spirit of God. That's what it's telling us. We now have the potential of being filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians, tells us that in Ephesians 5:18. And as we consistently confess our sins, which we talked about, utilizing 1 John 1:9, confessing our sins to the Father, so that way we can have fellowship with him and be in fellowship, not have sin separating us. Our fellowship with God is dependent on the study of the Word of God and the filling of the Spirit. So we got to continue over and over, you know, to be in the Spirit, to be confessing our sins. Hebrews 13:15 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's another really good security right there. More security as we go through these. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And then 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So 1 John 1:9 says we are to confess our sins. He is faithful and just to cleanse us, forgive us, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So 1:7, it's telling us we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So that's indwelling in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And these are just some of the verses. I know it kind of gets overwhelming. These are the verses that are in this little book. And it's just impacted with lots of verses for us to continue to go over every day. As you guys are at home or doing your studies at home, I encourage you to pick this up. You're going to read 20, like Brendan said, 26 different verses today, just in these little two short pages. So it's good ammunition for us while we're out there on the battlefield, setting up these perimeters. So number four, gifting. All right, God has a work for every child of his. For this work, he provides divine enablement called spiritual gifts. The purpose of our spiritual gifts is to manifest the power of the Spirit of God within us by edifying the body of Christ in some way. These gifts are sovereignly bestowed by the Spirit at the moment of our salvation. Because we are spiritually secure, we can never lose our gifts, for the gifts of the calling of God are irrevocable. Do you guys know what irrevocable means? It can't be. There's things out there like what I did. I was in finance for a long time. They have a thing called the irrevocable trust. It's like it's something that cannot be undone, right? For the gift of the and the calling of God are irrevocable. I mean, that's awesome knowing that that's the kind of security that we have. That's the kind of security we have in our salvation with Christ. But in Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him, in them." Sorry. 1 Corinthians 12:11, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, to another the work of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So we all have gifts, right? And that's what we're going to, as Christians, as young kids, you guys, as you get in tune in the Word and as you start reading more and studying more, you'll really start seeing that the gifts, you know, that you've been given. Some of you can sing really well. Some of you can play instruments. Some of you are really good at sports, athletic, you know, but you're going to find out soon enough the gifts that God gave you. And that's why coming to Bible study and staying in the Word on Sundays is so important. We have inside this Romans 12 for gifting. Romans 12, 1 through 8, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we're a new creation, right? We're transformed. We have a renewed mind. I might have mixed a few of these up. All right. So Romans 11:29, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." I love that, man. That's so awesome. That's security. Security in Christ. So now we're going to look at sealing, right? Number five. One of the many spiritual blessings we receive at the moment of salvation. Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Ephesians 1:13 through 14, it says, "In him you are also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The guarantee of our inheritance. That's awesome. So we're sealed, right? The Greek word translated as seal is stragizo. That means to seal, to set a seal or mark a seal. Have you guys ever been to like one of the gas stations? I know you pump gas. Katie pumps gas. I don't think, Nick, you're driving yet? Almost, right? You guys ever seen where the keys are to open the pumps up? There's those security strips over that. They have security strips. You go to the ATM, there's security. There's security cameras, right? But when you go, look at it. So what that does is that security seal is to show that no one has tampered with the equipment, right? The Holy Spirit is our seal in every sense of the word. But as we go through, we see a lot of things in life that are they try to secure. They try to secure the locks on the pumps. They try to secure ATM machines. Criminals are always stealing your credit cards, so they have these new ways of securing your credit cards. You got wallets now, right? They tell you put your cards in these wallets because it for the RI information strip and the new security keys, the people can't pick your information. They're saying that people can walk by if you just have your credit cards in your wallet and it's not secured, they can read your data right off of it, off of the magnetic strips. Yeah, like these car keys, all the new cars, the car responders there, they have they'll pick up. It's picking up signals constantly, so people can actually pick up your information from your key fobs and stuff and be able to download that data to break into your cars and take your vehicles. So they have all these security measures and everything. But it's just crazy how the Holy Spirit is really our seal in every sense of the word. The Holy Spirit in the believer's life helps to guarantee that he or she is the child of God. We see that in Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The seal of the Holy Spirit helps protect against tampering and attack. Attacks that we're going to face from the devil. It's another security that we have. Romans 8:13 declares, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." In a very real sense, God's Spirit protects us and guarantees our eternity with the Lord. So I know it's a lot of verses tonight just kind of thrown at you. It's something that it's hard to kind of go over it all, but I didn't go through all of them. Some of them I left for you guys to read over. So I hope that made sense a little bit. If you got questions afterwards, just come see me and we'll go over it. But I just want you guys to understand the security that you have, the security in Christ. If you guys are saved and you've given your life to Christ, this is some great security. These are great verses to have when you're kind of feeling down or things aren't going right. I mean, come back to this book. Come back to these scriptures and read them. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for all your wonderful blessings. We thank you for your words. We thank you for your love. And we just pray, Father, that as we go out into this world, Lord, that you will protect us, that you will watch over us, keep us safe, be with our families. And we just want to tell you, Lord, that we love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.